This podcast is brought to you by Windsor Management Insurance Brokers. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Joining us now is Fox Sports commentator and also Lang Warren head coach Scott Miller. Scott, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Evening, guys. How are we doing?
We're doing great. And more importantly, how are you?
I'm good. I had a great weekend. It's always good when you win, right? So, but apart from that, life's very good. I'm enjoying it.
And Lang Warren are doing very well, Scott. I think the fans have dubbed it the Scott Miller effect. You're sitting second on the table.
Oh, really? I haven't heard that.
A big win against Springvale. Things must be going very well internally at the club.
No, they're doing really well. I mean, one thing I do have here is a tremendous amount of support and trust from key people here. And I must admit, they've really come along for the ride. They've really supported what I wanted to do here, and that was more than just football. It was bringing really good quality, young, talented players here that culturally fit what Lang Warren stands for and really improve the performance standards as well and improve the value of the club in Victoria, if that makes sense, and making it slightly more fashionable with the style of play and an attractive place to attract younger players also.
And the games are attracting a lot of people to the games. The games that FNR has covered, there's been almost a pack house every week. And there's some really exciting young talent, guys like Johnny Cooler and Jordan Templin, really lining up quite nicely in that Lang Warren team. And from memory, there haven't been any games where the opposition has really gotten on top of you. There was that loss at the start of the season to Melbourne City, which could have gone either way. But apart from that, it's been a very, very good performances by Lang Warren.
Yeah, they have been. We're buzzing. You guys have come down and covered the game. It's just, as I said, it's building the profile of the club. You know, being down here on the peninsula, sort of detached slightly from Victorian football. So we appreciate you guys coming down. We expect more of you. If you can come down, that'd be awesome. But you're right. The Johnny Cool, the Templins, you know, they're talented footballers. You know, Templin's been at Berlin and ultimately, you know, made the step to join us this year. But what we've got is a real strong team ethic regarding work ethic and a high standard to one another. And you're spot on with what you said. That Melbourne City game, that's a coach killer, that one. You know, you look at the last goal right in the 97th minute. But isn't it ironic that we score in the 97th minute away to Murray 2.5 or 3 weeks later? So swings and roundabouts as they stay in football, but good young, talented footballers are giving their all for the football club, and that's the most important thing.
You talk about swings and roundabouts. Well, I'd love your thoughts and insight, firstly, on how tough it might be for the former Matildas head coach, Alan Stajic, to come into a club like the Central Coast Mariners, and given it's so late on in the season as well, and do what he did at the weekend?
It depends. I mean, it depends what mentality he went there in with. Essentially, it obviously happened very quickly. So, and Alan's not an inexperienced coach. He would have gone in there realising that, and I said this on the weekend, that you're not going to affect them massively technically or tactically. It's about the emotion connection to the game. And fortunately for him, he was able to use the derby as a positive excuse to really motivate his players. And isn't it really odd how a manager change sometimes can have such a positive influence on the group? I'd hate to be the manager leaving the club and seeing that happening, because that could be quite hurtful to see. But it happens a lot, and it is a reality, because ultimately a new voice is a new motivation. And ultimately it sort of springs people into action a little bit that may well have been performing quite mediocrity, and it inspired a great result for them. You know, now is the hard part in my sense. The first game's always the easiest because you are going to get a reaction. It's about lifting and really reviewing the game with quality and understanding how they got the result and allowing them not to get carried away with one result.
And two of the players who added to the score sheet on the weekend was Jordan Murray and Matt Miller, both formerly of the NPL ranks in Victoria and New South Wales. Scott, when you address the players, do you talk about these kind of things and look at where guys like Murray and even Elvis Campsober and Kenny Attew are, and perhaps inspire the players to one day get to this level?
Yeah, of course. And you know, it's really interesting, having worked at this level, I'm actually enjoying it from the perspective of seeing the potential, because we can get sort of blindsided by status of league and the lights of the A-League and the European leagues as well. However, everyone's got a right to become a footballer based upon their work ethic, commitment, and then ultimately the higher you go is based upon your quality that you can deliver throughout the week and match days. So I'm loving the fact that I'm seeing this level of football. I'm heading to Kingston and South Melbourne tonight to look at a few young players, and I guess that's the level of a coach. It's about understanding and developing players to provide them that pathway. And I'm liking what I'm seeing, I must admit. It is a big jump from NPL to A-League. Let's not forget that it is. But if they're provided that opportunity and can get in the system for at least 2 years, like you're seeing Kenny at Melbourne Victory, a two-year contract training at that level every day really does support their development. So I'm really encouraged by it, and I'm really out there now to support them and push as many forward to A-League clubs in the transfer window for sure.
We are, of course, speaking with the Langwarrin Soccer Club coach, Scott Miller, who's had a superb start to the season. And just in relation to that game, the F3 derby, Newcastle Jets, a big loss for them, Scott. They've got quite a tough run home as they look to surge into that final spot inside the finals. Do you see it realistic to see them pushing for the finals this season?
I think it might be close. I really do. I mean, I would hate to be sitting at home listening to a coach tell me that my team has no longer any more chance to make the top six. So I won't go as far as that. However, it comes down to them now. They were in control of it. That game on the weekend, I think, was really significant for them. And I know a lot of the players in that dressing room potentially be thinking that was one we missed. That's pretty standard in terms of the way they thought. Ultimately, it's always about the last game of the season, and you know it's about maximising as many points as possible, because one thing you can control is your results, and you can't always control the opposition when you're not playing them. So I think the focus will be completely on, right, let's win every game and see where we fall at the end of the year, because we have dropped points at crucial times throughout the year that we can no longer really consider because we can't change the outcome of that.
And Scott, who do you think might be a dark horse at this point in time, given that, you know, we are heading into the final five rounds of the competition and, you know, heading into finals? Is there one team or one club that you think might spring a surprise?
No, I think it's been pretty standard all year in terms of who's surprised the league. Obviously, Wellington's done very well. I think they had a pretty significant squad to start with anyway, in terms of Krishna and some key players there. So they've just been taken to the next level with man management and the tactical approach that's really supported their structure. So I really am pretty strongly opinionated based upon it will be a Melbourne Victory and Perth final. I just see they have the quality individually that can win key games. So the top six looks pretty much nailed on to me. I think the bottom four will continue to beat teams and potentially provide upsets, but I don't think we'll have much of an influence come the end of the season.
And Scott, how tough do you think it is to firstly win the Premier's plate, but then go on to win the actual grand final? Because we often see that, you know, teams do like to step up come finals.
Yeah, and the team we're talking about here is Melbourne Victory. You look at them last year and you look at them this year, how they've just gradually made steps. And obviously they're going through a challenging period now and they've just turned that around. And when I say challenging, I mean, for their standards. I think a lot of clubs would take their points tally. Pretty much every club would do so. Tony's got a history of being very successful with Western Sydney Wanderers and falling at the last hurdle. So that will be playing on his mind potentially, and he'll want to overcome that hoodoo. But he's got an incredible amount of quality there. And I'm watching Kilkenny and key players in that Perth squad, and they're hungry. They are pushing one another and their standards are very high. And that's hard to beat. So if there's any team that I think can do that, it will be based upon player availability of Melbourne Victory and get everyone fit. Because if you look at the player availability over the last couple of months, they've been missing key players at key moments, hence the reason the results have probably been slightly fragmented. But come final series, I'd imagine everyone will be fit and available.
And one of the other clubs who you mentioned or who you tipped to make the grand final, Perth Glory, are one of the most disciplined teams going around. And I think one of the reasons why they're playing so well is every player seems to be fulfilling their role superbly. We've seen some great teams in the A-League, Graham Arnold, Sydney FC, Angers, Brisbane Roar. But is this Perth Glory team under Tony Popovich the most disciplined we've seen in the A-League?
Yeah, well, that system is very challenging to play and it's new. So whenever anything's new, and you can get the buy-in from the playing group, they are very aware that they have to understand it clearly, because a lot can go wrong if many people are on different pages. So what you're seeing is a group collectively bought into that system. They can see how it's working, and ultimately the success is built upon the personnel that he brought into the football club. And he's designed that team and that structure around these people and their style of play. So he's maximising everyone's performance. You look at the output of the wingers in Davidson and Phoenix, they've got the capacity to do that. It's not as if he's playing a fullback without the physical capacity to do that. You look at Kilkenny's distribution. So what I'm getting at is he designed that team from a recruitment perspective and put it into a system that is enhancing everyone's performances. And I guess if you've got a manager doing that for you and you're in your position and everyone's content with their position, you're going to be buzzing, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this season, we've already seen Perth Glory concede considerable amount of less goals. Last season, they conceded 50, and this season, they've only conceded 20. That is a remarkable turnaround for a club.
Yeah, it's huge. And it does come down to, essentially, a lot of people think playing three at the back is a dangerous system. However, on transition, you see the work rate of Davidson and Phoenix. They're actually defending the back five, and then the attacking midfielders drop down into midfield. So a lot of men are behind the ball at any given time. And now it comes down to quality of the teams that Perth are playing against to hit them on transition before Davidson and Phoenix can actually get back and support that back three. But they've got it so nailed on, and like Wellington, they get so much pressure on the ball in the attacking half when it breaks down that it's very hard to play out of. So it's an attractive system. Not many people have worked it out how to play against it because it takes quality to actually play out against such significant numbers. And that's the biggest test for teams at the moment. How do you play against these teams with their mobility and speed? And I guess being a purist as a coach, I love organisation over anything else.
And finally, Scott, before we let you go, there's no A-League games for a week due to the international break. How do you keep the players ticking over during this time, and what do you feel a week in hand with?
At A-League level, it's interesting. You know, you'll be speaking to your medical staff at this time, and you'll be considering giving them some time off, maybe just for the weekend to deload some certain players. That's a manager that's potentially been involved in Asia competitions and things like that with a lot of travel. So that could be something on the agenda for the team. However, the likelihood of Alan Stanich giving his players time off at this time would not be the case. He will want them in every day working on the organisation of the team. So you see what I'm getting at. It's sort of individual based upon the team's load throughout the year and volume of games and potential sort of age profile of the team as well. But I know coaches are positive and see positivity with teams being off and being away from each other to regenerate, but I know coaches that like to keep players and teams together to regenerate together to keep that bond. So I'm sort of in the middle. I think regenerating the mind is as significant as the body. So some time away, maybe 2 or 3 days, is important.
Well, Scott, from good best of luck for the upcoming, I believe it's the FFA Cup. I think one of the comments has come through saying you're playing up against his local team, Corio. So he said, best of luck, Santino. Vizier, thank you very much for joining us on Evenings on FNR. Who does Lang Warren have in the upcoming NPL match?
We've got a big game this weekend. We play St Albans down here at home at 3 o'clock on Saturday. So a test from the West is our first test from over there, and it'll be a hard game. But we've got their ex-number 9 in Roddy. I won't say his last name. I've heard you say it, and it's very good on the commentary, so I'll leave that to you. He's an ex-St Albans player playing now for Lang Warren. So big day for the club, and we need to support him in his return playing against his old club.
Well, Scott, all the best for your game, and thank you so much for coming on Evenings on FNR.
Thanks for having me, guys.